Hi everyone. Good evening. My name is Saori Matsuoka and I'm an exchange student from Japan, Keio University. And I currently live in Livermore with my host family. And since the earthquake and tsunami had happened, I'm really worried about my friends and family back there. And of course, people in Japan and Fukushima. And one of the reasons is that situation occurred by the Fukushima nuclear power plant accident kind of resembles to what happened to people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki 66 years ago. So now I would like to introduce you Mr. Matsushima. He's a hibakusha, atomic bomb survivor. And he will talk about his testimony of experiencing atomic bomb in Hiroshima and how his life has changed since then. And also, I would like to introduce Mr. Steve Leeper, the chairman of the Hiroshima Peace Culture Foundation. And he will say a few words about how the Fukushima nuclear disaster has affected Japan. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Matsushima-san and Leeper-san. I don't know if you can see the crowd. I just want to show you that, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred people are gathered here right on the other side of the fence of the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Laboratory, watching you and listening to you being projected on a big screen on the laboratory fence. So, welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
We can see them when the camera slows down. But Mr. Matsushima will give his talk now.
Hello there, everyone. I'm very glad to see you all by the computer. What a technology. And I'm very glad to be given an opportunity to talk about my experiences on the A-bomb of 66 years ago. Well, thank you for listening to me from now on. Yes. Shall I continue my talk?
Just you can.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We'll get the picture back. Go ahead. Well, as for my experiences on the A-bomb, when the bomb was dropped, I was a 16-year-old student of the Technical College in Hiroshima, and I was in the classroom, which was located on the second floor of two-story wooden building. And in my classroom, there were over 70 boys, and I was seated in the extreme front row and south side corner. That side was farther from the hype center. And our school located about 2 kilometers to the south of the hype center. Well, fortunately, our class had started at 8 o'clock in the morning. And you see, the bomb was dropped at 8:15. So, if our school had started at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, we must have been in the streetcars going to school, and maybe in the streetcars near the center of the city, and maybe broiled in the streetcars. How lucky we were. At 8 o'clock, the first period had already started. Well, that was the situation then. And as I told you, 8:15 in the morning, yesterday morning, 66 years ago. I happened to see outside the window, it was a beautiful sunny day. And when I looked up, I could see two American bombers, B-29, flying very high in the air. Because there were only two of them, I didn't pay much attention on them. One might have already dropped the bomb and left. I have no idea now, see. I just felt, oh, they are flying for routine work. And I felt that they are beautiful, shining in the morning sun. But you know, the next moment, the bomb was dropped, exploded. Very strong flash, and of course, big shockwave of explosion, and heat wave. These things attacked me at the same moment. Whole world turned to something orange world. Imagine, strong flash, shockwave, and heat wave, boom, like this. That attacked me. That moment, everything was decided to each of all the citizens in Hiroshima. Who knows? I realized it was bombing, and I covered my ears and eyes and jumped under the desk. Then, huge noise followed. Hundreds of thunders in the morning. Big noise. And after that, very strange, it became so quiet. Although there were many boys, no one screamed, and no sound, deadly quietness. And it was very, very dark, real pitch black, and almost like midnight. And I was so scared to death, of course. I was bleeding from head to feet, and shirts and pants were torn, real miserable. So I just said, help me, mother, or help me, Buddha, things like that. And I was crawling around on the floor like a blind. How long was it? Soon, dim light came in and I could understand that whole structure of the roof or ceiling fell on our head. So, at that time, everyone in the city believed one bomb was dropped beside me. We didn't have any idea about such a big bomb those days. So I also felt Americans dropped a bomb beside me. Well, but somehow, because my position was close to the door, somehow I could sneak out of the building. Then I was so shocked to see all the school buildings had been smashed badly, and you see there were so many students dying or sitting on the grass in the playground. No one was in an ordinary shape. Every broken bones, bleeding from a lot of bleeding, real hell. So I wondered, why only two American bombers? What did they do? I had no idea. Well, that was the situation just after the bombing. At that time, I was going to take one of my friend. This guy had a big cut on his head. I intended to take him to the nearby hospital. And both of us walked out of the school gate. Then again we were shocked. All the houses had been smashed badly, and roof tiles or debris scattered around there. And near our school, there was a big, big streetcar road. But, you know, streetcars had already stopped and electric poles fell, wires dangling, and whole city was in fire already. And big smoke was pouring in the street. And above all, we were so shocked to see so many people were coming and walking along the streetcar road from the central area. You see, they were the people who were evacuating from the central area to suburbs. Now, everyone, these people were just miserable. I couldn't believe. Their hair had stood up straight, maybe because of the strong wind by explosion. Hair had stood up, and some had lost hair, maybe got burned and gone. And many of them had been so badly burned from head to feet, while whole body had been burned. Charcoal gray skin was peeling from their faces, necks, chest, arms, and whole body, and their skin were almost peeling from this, and I could see red muscle under the peeled skin. Their clothes were so badly torn and singed. Some were almost naked, leaving just some clothes around their waist. Well, no shoes. And with dire acceptance, they held out their arms forward like this. Maybe because of pain, I think. Real miserable. And they were walking slowly in a long line. Hundreds of them. So I was so confused. Why are they so badly burned? Well, I just couldn't believe it. But all day long, wherever I went, I had to see these people everywhere. And so we can't tell how many people were so badly burned in that moment. We got to the hospital, but no help. Front yard of the hospital was full of these casualties, and even doctors and the nurses were wounded. So I had to take my friend back to school again. Later, I could send him to another island because he was picked up by a rescue truck which came from later. Yeah. After all, this guy could survive. That was the situation. I could never go into the central area. That area was real hell. You understand, a lot of Japanese houses were destroyed in a moment, and people were buried. In the streets, people couldn't walk anymore. They just crawled to the riverside asking for water and died beside the rivers or drowned in the water. That's why for many days after the bombing, the rivers went up and down. There were a lot of bodies, full of rivers, bodies went up and down. Yeah. And you see, of course, in the streets were piles and piles of bodies. Some had their eyeballs popped out and intestines broke out from their belly. Real hell. But I couldn't witness them, no. Very fortunately, my injury was not so serious. Well, I was bleeding, but they had all caused by a lot of small cuts by the pieces of glass of the window pane. Fortunately, my bones were okay, and I could walk. So, after that, I decided to escape from the city, and I crossed one bridge in the south side. And I, when I crossed the bridge, I could see both sides of the river, and whole city was in fire. Big cloud of smoke covering the whole city and rising high. And I could feel, oh, Hiroshima is dying. Well, maybe I was a little sentimental. And at the same time, I could understand, well, Americans invented such a big bomb. It will be very difficult to win this war. This 16-year-old boy could understand that. But still, I didn't believe in surrender either. Well, I walked and walked the east side of the city, and I returned to the dome to be near Hiroshima Station. But the dome had been smashed, and Hiroshima Station was in fire. So trains had already stopped. To get out of the city, I had to walk and walk many miles. In the evening, I could get on a rescue train and three more stations and got on the train and started walking, and I could reach my mommy's home in the farm country almost midnight, and my long day was over. But you see, all the way to the station, I had to see these people everywhere. Real sad, you see. Well, as for me, I was very lucky to have a place to go back home, you see. But you see, many people who bombed in the central area, in the center of the city, didn't have any places to go. So they just went to the elementary schools in the suburbs, or shrines or temples. And these places were full of those unhappy people just asking for water in the dark. And before the next morning came, a lot of them died. So in my case, again, I was very fortunate having a place to go back home, see. Yeah, my mother was very pleased to see me, who are alive. But from the next day, I became very ill because of high fever and diarrhea. Because I drank a lot of water. It was a very hot day. But I think it may be the immediate after effect by the radioactivity. Well, but fortunately, in my case, I could recover after a week or 10 days. Well, maybe because I was still young. And from that time, since then, I have become ill from time to time. But fortunately, even today, still I am alive. Yeah, so I was one of the most fortunate survivors in this city, I think. Maybe you have heard about black rain. 1 or 2 hours after the bombing, black rain fell, which had the ash of explosion in the rain, you know. That black rain fell mainly in the west suburbs, and I went to the east. That's why I didn't get it. Well, but black rain caused some troubles, of course. Even today, there are some people who still have some problems about their health those who got the back pain, they are horrible. Well, after that, you know, because it was a very hot season, people would live, their burns or wounds festered very soon, and even infested maggots. People had to take them off with chopsticks. Still, people died in pain one by one. Well, and they say at least over 140,000 people died in that year, 1945. See. And, well, of course, even after that, even healthy people, seemingly no injury, no burns, looks all right. But these people became ill all of a sudden with a lot of very strange symptoms like high fever or bleeding from gums or diarrhea or many spots on their bodies. And even doctors didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know much about radiation those days. And shortage of all medicine those days, and people died one by one. And as you know, a couple of years later, leukemia or cancer started. Even many years after the bombing, people became ill all of a sudden with the unknown reasons. Well, brutal bomb, I should say, something like that. Yeah. Well, that's almost all I can tell you about my experiences. Because it was such a big disaster, I could tell just a small part of my experience. And I hope you can understand the whole situation, and you can understand what a horrible weapon this was. I believe that this kind of weapon must never be used on any nation or in any countries, never again. And I hope you people can help us and cooperate to stop the next use of it and hopefully to abolish all of them from the world. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Reaper?
Shall I just start talking here?
Yes.
Okay. I hope that you can, I'm sure that you all got from his story that this bomb is cruel, it's inhumane, it cannot distinguish between combatants and non-combatants, it cannot be limited to the battlefield in either time or space. It's an illegal weapon. It was illegal to even invent this weapon. It should have been banned decades ago, and we need to move quickly now to get a convention, a nuclear weapons convention. That is our top priority over here. It has been for a year, and we are really trying to push for negotiations to start for a nuclear weapons convention. And right now, here in Japan, there is a movement developing to say to the Japanese government that you are the one who should be leading this. And I do believe that if Japan were to stand up and say, yes, we are going to be the peace culture leader, we are going to start the Tokyo process or Hiroshima-Nagasaki process, and this process will lead to a nuclear weapons convention, the whole world would follow. This would be very, very effective. And so we're trying to push on that. And the reason I'm mentioning this to you is because we need help from outside. We need you pushing on Japan and asking Japan to become the leader. It's the natural leader of this convention campaign, and we need you to remind them that it is that they are the leader. So I hope that you will all find some way to try to influence Japan or push on Japan to do that. And then I was asked specifically by Jackie to talk about Fukushima, so I wore my new t-shirt. Did you read this t-shirt?
Yes.
This t-shirt has been on sale for about 3 days. It was brought to town by some anti-nuclear activists just a few days ago. And I think it does sort of express the opinion, certainly of the anti-nuclear forces around here. This has become a very powerful moment and a very powerful movement against nuclear in general, but it's also creating a conflict. There are people who are talking about, who are really emphasizing that nuclear weapons and nuclear power are the same thing. It's all the same thing. We have to get rid of it all. We have to get rid of the whole nuclear industry. There's another strong group of people who are saying, well, Fukushima is bad. We had a very bad situation there. Maybe we will be moving away from nuclear power, slowly, gradually moving away from nuclear power. But it's very important to distinguish between weapons and power. And that nuclear power was created by people who actually did believe that this was a boon to humanity and was creating good energy for people, and that we would find a way to deal with the waste and all that. And weapons are for the purpose of killing people. This is an entirely different consciousness in our minds. The idea of using these weapons to kill people and destroy a whole city at one hit, this is one thing. Another thing is nuclear power. So these are the two communities that are competing right now for the attention of the world, or at least in Japan. And I think it would be very helpful over there. I assume that a similar kind of discussion is going on over there. It doesn't matter which group is coming to put pressure on Japan. I think a strong push from outside for Japan to eliminate the whole nuclear industry would be very helpful right now. It would also be very helpful just to push on the weapons. Either way, it's very helpful to come over here and push on us. My own personal feeling is that I do think it's the nuclear industry as a whole that is a problem. We need to get rid of the whole nuclear industry.
Yes.
However, I am very worried about this becoming a conflict that weakens the effort to eliminate nuclear weapons. I think if we can get rid of the whole nuclear industry in a way that strengthens the effort to eliminate nuclear weapons, then that's fabulous. But if we are going to fall into internal conflict and weaken ourselves by fighting among ourselves about which to do first, or how to talk about it, I'm really quite worried about that. And I'm worried based on a few workshops that I attended on the 5th and the 6th, where this becomes an issue and people are angry at each other about it. And they're talking about whether nuclear weapons and nuclear power are the same thing. Yes, they are. No, they aren't. And there's some heat there. And I'm very afraid that we're going to fall into a Gensui King, Gensui Kyo kind of problem, which is a big division that happened about between the socialists and the communists back in the 60s. That led to a serious weakening of the anti-nuclear movement here. So there is no doubt that Fukushima is a terrible disaster. Here in Japan, especially here in Hiroshima, we're far away from it, and we're still trying to find out what actually happened. We don't know yet how much of Fukushima Prefecture has been lost permanently. We don't know yet how bad the hit was to the agriculture there, how bad the hit is to the fishing industry there. We don't know how many people will have to be evacuated. We don't know how many people are going to get sick with various kinds of problems. So it's still a developing situation. I have absolutely no backup data to prove this, but my feeling is that the blow, the Fukushima blow to the Japanese economy is probably of greater value than all of the electricity produced by all of the nuclear power plants in their lifetime. I don't really have any data on that, but that's the feeling I have. It is a huge, huge blow to this economy and has seriously changed politics over here. Yesterday, in our ceremony, the Prime Minister said very clearly that he is working to have it. He's working for a world that does not rely on nuclear power. So he wants to move Japan away from nuclear power. This is amazing. It's unbelievable that he is saying things like that, because the nuclear industry is one of the most powerful industries in this country. And you never heard any politicians talking like that before. Now we have governors and mayors and diet members, many people who are talking like that. Maybe more importantly, we have public television over here. NHK is doing many programs about renewable energy, geothermal, solar, wind, all of the alternatives. They did a big special about the way that the nuclear industry has stacked hearings. That's the recent scandal that has come out, is that many hearings about nuclear industry have been taking place around the country, and the nuclear industry has been paying people or actually sending their employees to those meetings to make sure that the hearings are heavily stacked with pro-nuclear people. This is now presented by our public television here as a scandal, as a problem. So this is a very, very different political situation. It is possible that Japan could turn against nuclear altogether, nuclear or anything. That is I think that it will be very helpful to have some help from the outside, people pushing. And one of the things that we are saying here in Japan is that the world is watching Japan. The world wants to see how Japan responds to this Fukushima. And we really need Japan to stand up and say, we are going to be the peace culture leader. We're going to lead the world away from nuclear weapons, nuclear power, the whole nuclear thing. Nuclear is over. That's the whole idea that we want the Japanese to lead in. But I don't think that will happen without a lot of pressure from the outside. And I keep saying this over and over because most people don't think about lobbying Japan or pushing on the Japanese for this and that, but now is the time to do that.
May I take a little time to talk to you? Because you all American people, I think you may have some confused feelings to us Japanese, mainly citizens of Hiroshima. But you know, we are very good friends now, and you see, we have an endless anger to the A-bomb itself, but not to people anymore. I don't think there are many Hiroshima citizens who have very hard feelings to American people anymore. This is a time for us all to cooperate to stop the next use of the A-bombs and to abolish nukes from the world. We know that your President Obama is at the top of tendency to stop the nukes, and we agree them. We want to help his opinion, and we welcome his attitude. Please help us. This is a time for us all to cooperate. That's what I want to send the message, what I want to send to you from Hiroshima. Okay?
Thank you. Can you hear the clapping? What's
Yes, yes, we can hear. We're great. We can only see a few points of light out there, actually, but we do hear it, and we're grateful for that.
It's getting dark now, but I just want to thank you again. It's been incredibly meaningful and informative to all of us here to have this live book up, looking at you literally on the fence of the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Laboratory.
Well, thank you, Jackie, for setting this up. We're grateful to be there. You are at the heart of the problem, and I hope that you will do your best to help solve it. But I do think that one of the best things you can do is get Japan to lead the fight.
Yes.